If you are a resident in a nursing home, what is the likelihood you will be prescribed an antipsychotic medication based on a clear indication that it is a required therapy? This question was addressed in an Institute for Clinical Evaluative Sciences study that looked at the prescribing rates in different Ontario nursing home residences. The results published this month by the ICES showed a wide discrepancy amongst the homes. And joining us today to discuss these results, I'm pleased to introduce Dr. Paula Rochon, Senior Scientist at the Institute for Clinical Evaluative Sciences, Geriatrician, Senior Scientist and Assistant Director at the Kunin-Lunenfeld Applied Research Unit at Baycrest Center for Geriatric Care, and Professor of Geriatric Medicine and Clinical Epidemiology at the University of Toronto. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What was the original impetus for this particular study?
Well, we've been interested for some time in the use of antipsychotic therapies in the nursing home setting, and we wanted to get a better sense of how frequently they're being used and the reasons for their use.
What type of antipsychotics were you specifically concerned with? Was it as a broad category, or were there specific medications that drew your attention?
Well, there's two kinds of antipsychotics. There's the older ones, which are called the typical antipsychotics, and there's a newer version called the atypical antipsychotics. And more recently, there's been a big switch from the older agents to the newer agents, which is appropriate, because the newer agents were thought to be the safer mm-hmm. ones. But as a result of that, we have thought that there's been an increase in their use, and that's what we are interested in looking at.
Can you provide a bit of background history about the use of antipsychotic medications within the nursing home residence setting? What were the issues that actually led to its original use? Why are they used in the first place?
Well, these medications are often used to manage or help manage people with difficult behaviors that are often associated with dementia. Since in the nursing home setting, dementia is very common, you know, there often are behavioral problems. Often the behaviors can be managed without medications quite successfully, but these medications are a therapy that have been suggested as another management form.
Have there been any evaluations to look at the outcomes of using these medications? Are they doing what is intended if the assumption is to treat a behavioral problem? Is indeed the result a patient that is calmer or who's exhibiting behavior that has improved?
Well, I think that's some of the interesting part of this story is that these drugs were initially developed and for use in patients who have sort of major psychiatric conditions. They weren't originally developed for the use in the dementia population. And in fact, big studies that have come out recently and just sort of looking at the evidence in general, it doesn't really show that they're as effective as maybe people might like to think. I think the sort of the feeling based on other studies is that there may be some benefit, but that often the benefit of these therapies is outweighed mm-hmm. by the risks associated with them. So it's a very important question to ask, you know, does the therapy really make a mm-hmm. difference? And maybe we're thinking that it makes more of a difference than it really does.
Now, turning to your study, how did you design it?
Well, what we were interested in doing is we were able to look across the entire province of Ontario in this case and look at the rates of antipsychotic drug use by at individual facilities. And we were able to group facilities into those that were higher and those that were lower prescribers of antipsychotics. And what we found is overall, it looked like about a third or just under a third of residents in nursing homes were being prescribed these therapies. And that rate is you know, fairly high. But we also found that there's some facilities that are lower prescribers. Mm-hmm. And in those facilities, the rate would be about maybe about 20% of residents getting an antipsychotic. And there are other facilities that we were able to group as being higher prescribers where about you know, more than 40% of the residents would be getting therapies. Now, the residents at facilities across nursing homes are relatively similar, so we don't see as much variation in the kinds of residents between these facilities. So it seemed to suggest that, you know, if you happened to be admitted to a facility where they were lower or less likely to prescribe an antipsychotic, you were less likely mm-hmm. to get an antipsychotic, as opposed to if you were being admitted to a facility that was more likely to use an antipsychotic, you would be more likely to get that drug.
So that would seem to relate to what you mentioned just a bit earlier about looking for evidence for use. It seems that the at least from looking at the data initially, sort of depending on where you go, you're going to get prescribed, not necessarily because of your behavior, but where you're actually going.
I think that's true, and I think that's sort of a kind of situation where you know, there's uncertainty as to how to proceed. And clearly, I think it shows that because there's a wide variation that, you know, some people are managing presumably well without using a lot of antipsychotics, and other facilities are using much more. And, you know, I guess the big question is, you know, is it really making a difference to residents? And I think what we would think is that probably the lower rates are where we want to strive, and how low they need to be, I think that's something that needs to be explored further. But it's interesting to look at this variation.
In fact, this sort of goes along with this. I was going to ask what the reasons were for this wide variation. Is it partly because there's no specific standard approach, or at least the standard approach is not being followed with respect to prescribing these medications and evaluating the patients on the basis of do they have a behavior or an indication for that medication use, or is it something in the nursing home residence itself that influences more negative behavior?
Well, I think you've hit on a number of different important issues. One is I think we can do a lot better at developing more of a standardized approach to managing these patients. And I think that there's been some good sort of advances in that regard, where there's been a number of facilities that have, have made a lot of steps from an educational perspective in terms of putting forward approaches to how to manage difficult behavior. So if it's things like, wandering and a little bit of agitation, what are the triggers and how could you anticipate these sort of problems and therefore prevent them from happening? And people have a lot of success with that. I think what we want to do is start sharing how other people are managing these so that there is a much more standard approach to the use of the therapies. And the basic things would be that, first off, you try non-drug approaches. And if you are in a situation where you need to use a drug, you try to pick a drug that has, that's safer, that has fewer side effects. And if you are in a situation where you need to use an antipsychotic, and those would be situations where, people have very dangerous or difficult behavior, then you have to document why and see if it actually has made a beneficial or had a beneficial effect or not, and then try to decrease the dose or stop the drug if that's possible.
Now, did your study look at whether in cases where the people were given more than the average, that is looking at some of these residences where people received even more antipsychotic medications, were there any evaluations done to see if these patients did actually better? Not from necessarily from your study, but the people prescribing the medications, were they evaluating the effect on these patients?
We don't know that, but I think that's really important. There's been other literature done in other jurisdictions. Years ago in the United States, when it was the issue was more around the older antipsychotic drugs, and at that time their rates of prescribing were at about close to a quarter of residents. And when they implemented sort of new, more sort of stringent guidelines as to how these drugs should be used and when they were appropriate and when they were not, they were able to reduce the prescribing rates to about 17%. And at that time, they were not able to document that there was any detrimental effect to residents.
Now, your center, the Baycrest Center, what is your approach? You mentioned briefly some of the steps you would take with regard to non-medical intervention. What specifically are them? How would you approach a patient if you were to decide and someone is coming to you saying, well, we're having a behavior problem, we're not sure how to proceed? What would be your approach to it?
Well, I think it's first off, you have to get information. And often it's family members that can provide information, or if it's a person in an institution or a residence like Baycrest, often the staff can come up with important information. And, you often observe what's happening with the resident, and the staff often comes up with excellent suggestions and ideas as the first approach as to how to manage the person. So it might be things around, how the resident is greeted, or, things that they like to do or don't like to do. And they can develop a very detailed management plan that incorporates particular issues related to that resident. And often, you know, in discussion with the staff and their observation and discussion with family members, they're able to manage the behaviors just by changing the way the patient or the resident is being approached and managed quite successfully. And so we try very, very hard to look at those kind of approaches first.
Well, Dr. Roshan, I'd like to ask you one last question. What are your plans now for future research? Are you going to be looking at this issue a bit more detail and maybe producing guidelines for the physicians and healthcare workers in these centers to be able to follow a more rigorous set of standards to prevent this wide discrepancy and variation?
Well, I think this work does lead to the idea of what can we do to make it better across all facilities and to have standard approaches. And I think the next step is to start conversations about what could we do to give people advice and education as to how to manage this very difficult problem, with the non-pharmacologic approaches being the first step, so that we can learn from some of the successful approaches that are being used at other facilities to make it better for all residents.
Well, Dr. Roshan, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
All the best.